I declare the meeting open at 5:30 PM. I welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting? We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 2 reports from committee, 15 reports from management, 9 of which are confidential, 2 items of general business, and I think we have a proposed item of urgent business. We've received an apology from Councillor Pinder Mortimer. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 35, held on Tuesday the 30th of June 2015? Thank you, Councillor Wood. Seconded, Councillor Ong. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meeting? Thank you. In that case, as at 3 PM today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the conduct of meetings local law 2010. We have had 155 items of correspondence in relation to agenda item 5.1, car share policy, and in relation to agenda 7.1, notice of motion from Councillor Main, further amendments to car share policy, an item of correspondence from Michael Fogarty. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda item 6.7, 6.8 or 6.9?
Lord Mayor, I'd propose that item 6.9.1.4 be brought out of confidential and dealt with in open session.
I am confident, as I am charged to be, that this will not touch upon confidential information. Is there a seconder for that, Councillor Wood? Thank you. Could I put that motion without further debate? All those in favour? That will be considered an open session at the end of our general business. Actually, just before our general business. Reports from committee. There are 2 reports. Could I call on Councillor Oak as Chair of Transport to present agenda item 5.1, the car share policy? Sorry? Very, very simple policy, Councillor. Very simple. Very straightforward.
I'm glad that it's the first item on the agenda, I think, was my comment before. Now, which is the recommendation we've got on the screen? I think I'd like to move a slightly amended one than we have in the report. So I move the motion that's on the screen.
I'll leave that for councillors to digest for a moment. And obviously, Councillor Oak will explain more fully during her
if
contribution.
If I get a seconder.
If you get a seconder. Seconded, Councillor Foster. Thank you. Councillor Oak.
Again, where do I begin? I guess I should begin by pointing out that there are a few changes from what's in the meeting documentation, the report that came from the recommendation from the Future Melbourne Committee a week or so ago. And the changes are that rather than the 2-for-1, we've got to 1-for-1, but still maintaining the 2,000 target. So therefore, we've increased the number that Council will provide on-street to 1,000 rather than 600. The fees have changed slightly as per the recommendation in our meeting papers where all Year 3 fees are to be the same within the CBD. That remains the same. But outside the CBD, it becomes more in line with the residential permit where it's $25 per annum plus a once-off administrative fee. Noting that there are many differing opinions as to what the model should or shouldn't be, and many of those differing opinions are not only within our administration, amongst my colleagues, but amongst the car share providers, where they all have slightly different nuances of what is or isn't palatable within their various business models. We have, I acknowledge that it is a little bit uncertain as to how this model will get us to our target of 2,000, being very clear that this is a recommendation to get to 2,000 car share spaces within the municipality within the next 6 years, which I think is an incredible target, seeing as currently we have a target of 300. So 2,000 is the target that I'm putting forward in this recommendation. 1,000 of those are on our street. But I do acknowledge that the fee structure and the one-for-one is still, it's still perhaps a work in progress. And so I've also inserted in there the 12-month review. So there will be a report in 12 months' time that will evaluate the performance of this policy, but with a particular requirement to look at that one-for-one, one-off-street, one-on-street element of the policy. So that is up for review in the next 12 months, and we'll receive that report in 12 months' time. But we're also acknowledge that it is a new element to our policy, and we also understand that that it is complex getting spaces off street, and we don't want to see this as a hindrance. We want to accelerate car share spaces within the municipality. So 2.5, which if you move the screen up, as was the original recommendation that came from the Future Melbourne Committee, but a slight tweak to that again, where that we're looking at the developer forums in this year, so in 2015, to bring the car share companies, developers, car park operators, body corporates together in a meeting to try and accelerate the off-street car parking. But also at 2.5.3, you'll see that I'm also recommending that we increase the marketing of car share through not only our website but through various publications. So, motion that I'm putting forward is a mixture of the independent report, which was extensive and clearly highlighted why the City of Melbourne should continue to support car share. It clearly indicated the reasons why we should support it and getting more cars off our street and providing options to our residents that may not have a car space, but also residents in our municipality that don't want to own a car. They don't want to have the annual cost of owning a car for themselves when they might only use a car once in a while. So we really want to support car share, but how we do that is complex. And as I said, this recommendation follows not only the independent report, it follows our officer's recommendation. It takes what we discussed at the Future Melbourne Committee, and it takes many conversations that I've had, lengthy conversations with the car share providers in the last few days, but those that my colleagues have had as well. So I put this forward to my colleagues, hoping that it's somewhat reflecting the various views, and I now leave it to debate and see where we end up at the end of this section.
Thank you. Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Well done to Councillor Oak and others who I know have contributed enormously to get this motion into the shape that it's in, and hopefully into a shape that many of us can agree with. I think it's fair to say that the car share operators presented some interesting arguments at the last Future Melbourne Committee meeting that attracted attention far and wide. They said broadly that their service provides a community benefit and is an environmentally sustainable transport option. And because of this, ratepayers essentially should prop up their businesses to the tune of around $660,000 a year. I do agree with a part of that. I think there are enormous community benefits from car share schemes operating in Melbourne, and of course they are, generally speaking, the environmentally sustainable transport option. And I think generally they ought to be encouraged, and I think what this motion is doing is just that. Many residents I know have come to appreciate the car share schemes here in Melbourne and the convenience they offer, but I talk to dozens of businesses around Melbourne, as I know other councillors here do, and many of them would claim to me, as they would to others, that they also provide enormous community benefits, often of different types, not always environmental community benefits, but benefits nonetheless. And how many of them do ratepayers support in this way? Not one. Not one of them. And unfortunately, some in the car share business, I don't think, have helped their collective case all that much with some of the arguments that have been put over the last week or two. I know one in particular was reported in The Age as questioning Melbourne's green credentials because council wouldn't commit ratepayers' money to prop up his business. And this is the same business that the operator claims was losing $15,000 a year every year before the proposition of increased fees came along. And no doubt Councillor Wood will outline some of Melbourne's environmental successes, and I hope he does. So let me just say that before he does that, or anybody does that, it is entirely outrageous to suggest that Melbourne, one of the most forward-thinking, progressive, environmentally sustainable cities on the planet, isn't green enough because we won't make ratepayers spend their hard-earned on commercial enterprises. If people were serious about running green car share businesses, maybe they'd be running electric cars and installing car charging points across the city for electric cars. In fact, I was seriously considering moving an amendment to this effect tonight, but I'll leave that for another day. At the end of the day today, car share operators are welcome in Melbourne. Of course they're welcome in Melbourne. And these businesses ought to be encouraged, as I said, but I'd also encourage them to become a real part of this city by understanding their consumers, the people of Melbourne, and by not perpetuating the myth that the city of Melbourne would put at risk its enviable record on environmental sustainability.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Watts.
I was overseas when the debate took place. Fortunately, in this council, we have recorded the opportunity to listen to recordings. And what I perceive as I listened is that the car share operators allowed the framing of the matter to move down into, let's say down from my perspective, into simply an economic argument about their viability, when in fact from my perspective what we're talking about here is a public good, a sustainable, collaborative, useful piece of public transport in the city. This element of the equation is very hard to cost, which is why everybody's been avoiding it, I suspect. I'm very pleased that my colleagues have turned themselves inside out formulating this new motion, which goes quite a long way, I think, to answering the fear that the car share cooperatives will no longer be viable. The motion before us today ameliorates the situation and I hope points out to the car share operators that they do have sympathy on council. We do understand the business. We understand the value of the business. And I, for one, would be very sad if their presence in Melbourne declined. But what I do know is that a business has to present itself in the most favourable light, and it hasn't, I fear, to council from what I've heard and what I think. So let's hope this meets with their approval. Let's hope it creates prosperity for them. And let's hope in the year ahead, before the next review occurs, they begin to think about ways in which they can be even more green. My colleagues mentioned the electric car option. This is what we should be doing. They should be painting themselves into the picture of the viable green public transport option in Melbourne. So I'm very prepared to support this motion.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Wood.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think, Councillor Oak, this would be nearly one of the longest motions we've seen for a while, and that, I think, speaks to the complexity and the work that you've put into actually devising this motion off the back of Councillor Leppett's FMC motion. And I think, as Councillor Foster said, that this does walk a fine balance in terms of respecting the car share companies, but also respecting other users in our municipality as well. We've got tram superstops, we've got pocket parks, we've got the urban forest, some of our award-winning environmental sustainability actions. We've got motorcycle parking, buses, taxis, not to mention retail parking. So the competition for this real estate in the city of Melbourne is pretty fierce. I think Councillor Oak's point is well made, that what this motion actually does is support the expansion of car share. And I think that's the point that we need to make, that that we're not against car share. In fact, we're absolutely wholeheartedly for it. We have to balance that against ratepayer dollars. We have to balance that against competing interests. And I think this gets the balance right. In terms of the subsidy, it's not whether we should subsidise it, it's how much. Again, Councillor Foster mentioned the amount. It's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think that too is around about the right mark for this type of this form of lowering the number of cars in our municipality, which I think it does a good job of. I'm a customer of FlexiCar, and I think that the car share companies do a really good job. But again, that does have to be balanced against all the competing interests in the city, and this motion does get it right. In terms of the one-for-one, I think, you know, that remains to be seen how that'll work, but when you talk about the valuable real estate, the fact that 70% of our residents live in apartment blocks, that really is a market that should be tapped and will be tapped over the next 12 months, and we are happy to assist as they go down that path as well. So I think the fee structure is right, no increase in the CBD, a much more modest fee out of the CBD, very similar to a resident permit, the assistance with developers, all of these sort of attributes as part of this motion, I think get it right. So, as I said previously, I think there's a lot of upside for the car share industry. We hope that now that their submissions have been made, and obviously everyone's welcome to submit, and there's been a high volume of submissions, that they look forward to working collaboratively with the City of Melbourne in keeping car share strong in this city.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the debate? If there is not, I will call the mover. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm a bit torn on this one. I think Councillor Oakes done an excellent job in moving quite a fair way from where we were last Tuesday night. I think particularly lining up the $25 residential permit with the outside CBD decision is good, so we're not setting a precedent anymore where we're charging more in an annual fee sense than we would be charging for a residential permit. I think that the marketing is an important initiative. If we're behind it, we have to get behind it in a marketing sense, and this is now committed in 2.5.3. Connecting with the body corporates, I think, is also good. The one area where I've got a problem that I think I still will vote against the motion is on the one-for-one. Because I think at the moment we have a model where 90% are free, effectively. What we're providing, 90% is effectively free. And we're moving to a model of 100% charged, albeit very modestly at the 25 in the non-CBD areas. But if you read the GoGet submission, they talk about one for two was going to impose on them an annual burden of $1 million. $1 million. So one for one, probably half that, 500,000. So I just think that what will happen is one for one, you know, the instant effect of one for one will stifle the scheme, because the car share operator, before they can get any more spots, they're going to have to stop and run around and find hundreds of off-street spots that they currently haven't got. So if we really aspire to grow car share, I can't see how putting up the price for what they've already got and imposing a very large burden to buy spots off private car park owners is going to grow the scheme. So I just think it's going to cause extra cost and lack of growth. I'm pleased there's a review in there, and this is a policy that we can change at any point through a motion. It's not a five-year licence. It's not a contract. It is a policy that can be changed, and I think that is the one that will have to be changed. I mean, are we going to be removing spots off car companies that can't demonstrate they've got off street? It's an unprecedented policy area. No other council has attempted this. We've had very strong resistance to it. We've moved from two for one, which is good, but I just think something that would have been an incentive system where we would reward the allocation based on those who could demonstrate, as opposed to a sort of a fairly binding, you will not get any more unless you can show. And I just think the carrot and stick side of this is not going to deliver the growth that we all say we aspire to. We're all signing up for 2,000 spots, 2,000 car share spots by 2021. And I think we should think about that and talk about that as each year passes, because to get to that level, we're going to have to subsidise. We're going to have to spend a lot of money to get to that level of car share. And councillors Today we were told that we're 2.9 million ahead of forecast this year on car parking fees and 4.5 million on overall parking fees. And we're quibbling about something.
I'm actually not sure
not
you can make that public. Yeah, it is.
When was it declared confidential?
No. That's what.
It wasn't declared confidential.
No, it doesn't need to be declared confidential. It is because it hasn't come before council yet, and that's a basic rule. Well, but anyway.
All right. Well, I'll rephrase that and say, as you would have seen in the nine-month data, councillors, that we approved a few weeks ago, and updates will be coming in the public arena soon. We are millions of dollars ahead of budget on parking revenue, which gives us room to move. We don't need to be dying in a ditch over a few hundred thousand dollars here or there. We had a policy discussion this morning, which just got rid of 25 car parking spots just like that. So I'm struggling to see why we're so fixated with parking revenue. And I think that the one-for-one is a problem. And I think we're going to need to move on that in the future. Yeah. And so for that reason, I'll be voting against.
I'm sorry. Correct. I'm sorry. I have to agree. You can't bring up things that people cannot raise and dispute because they're in a confidential session later. And I must say, I don't think it adds to your argument. But anyway, you've concluded your argument. Before I ask the mover to conclude, Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. If we're serious about increasing car share in the city, particularly to the target that the independent consultants identified, which is 2,000 by 2021, then we need to support this motion before us today and not support the notice of motion at item 8.1, which only caps out at 600 by 2021. The motion before us as well has inside CBD fees at a maximum of $3,000. The notice of motion has $3,600. This motion has fees outside the CBD of $25 a year plus a $500 annual fee. The other motion later on in the agenda has a higher fee there as well. So if we're serious about expanding car share, if we're serious about reaching the target that the independent consultant has told us is a suitable target to reach, then the only motion before us that is seriously to be considered is the one that we're debating right now. I'm prepared to give the one-for-one issue a go. I understand that it is not really precedented in other Australian municipalities, but that is why Councillor Oak has put in here a one-year performance review and we can see whether or not that policy is working. That is an entirely appropriate way to go about this. We cannot provide 2,000 car share parks on the street. I think that 1,000 is going to be an absolute stretch and probably saturation, and certainly there's a lot of nervousness from inside the administration as to that figure, I know. But what we have done here over the course of the last 2-plus weeks is to pare back from what officers originally recommended to us, a very new and consensus-based motion which Councillor Oak has put forward, which I do accept removes hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of lost revenue compared to where management started us at over 2 weeks ago. But I do thank Councillor Oak for doing that because we do need to end up somewhere. The choice is either to participate in that holistic discussion with all of our councillors here present and to pull that officer recommendation as far towards a more friendly position in terms of fees and provisions for car share companies that we can, or to just take a entirely pure view and to vote against everything that the management has put up to say this isn't good enough. But every step of the way I'm going to choose the way Councillor Oak has taken us here, and she's undertaken this process collaboratively, and she's seen us as a group of councillors end up somewhere very different to where we started, but she's maintained that majority, and I commend her for that, and I commend her for the process of getting us there. So I commend this motion.
Thank you. I think I'll now call on the mover to conclude debate.
There's so many things I could say, and I could refute some of the things that have been said, or highlight some of the things that have been said, but we probably don't want to delay it any much further, other than I guess the one point I want to make is that the debate in the last 2 weeks and at the Future Melbourne Committee meeting was all very antagonistic, and it seems to be us against them. But the point of this policy and the point of the independent report is that we need to work on this together. And this model is about the City of Melbourne working with the car share providers to get to that 2000 target. And it's not about now we've set this model and you go off and do it by yourself and we'll do our own thing. This is, we need to get together and work together and try to find a united front. I know there's going to be differences in some aspects, so differing opinions on some aspects of the model, but the one thing I think we should unite around is that we want car share companies in the municipality. We want 2,000 spaces. We want to work together to get this, the off-street parking working. It may not work through this particular model, but I think that we've got to at least start somewhere, and we need to, and I think we've provided enough mechanisms in there to work together to try and get to that, to get to that number. I think that, it's unfortunate that it has become a bit of a negative argument, and we are talking, you know, a lot of the debate tonight has not been so positive towards the car share companies, which is unfortunate because I believe it, because they are providing a great service for the municipality, for our residents, for our businesses. I believe that they're essential to our municipality's transport strategies. It's essential that if we want to get cars off our streets, we need to support car share. And it's unfortunate that the debate has become so complex and so antagonistic and somewhat negative. But I am thankful to my colleagues for, trying to find a middle ground, try to find something that we could all agree on, knowing that we all come to this from a wide range of opinions. And I think that we could easily have gone down the line of something that I certainly wouldn't have supported. I want to support something that does support car share and does get us to a much higher target than in any other city in Australia, and something that we should be proud of. And so I move the motion, if that's what I'm allowed to do, I close debate in saying that, yes, whilst I agree that it might not be perfect, we've got a review mechanism in there, let's now spend the next 12 months making sure that this works, making sure that we can get to that target, making sure that we do really ramp up car share in the municipality, get cars off our street, provide more options for residents who don't want to own cars, and all of those benefits, that all of those submissions that were provided to us from the car share providers and all of their very vocal and enthusiastic members will become more of a reality within the municipality. So I move the recommendation.
Thank you. In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, Councillor Ong, Councillor Louis, Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor O, Councillor Lippert, myself, those against, Councillor Mayne, I declare the motion carried. And that means that later in the agenda, item 7.1 will now lapse because there is a successful motion around car share. Can we move to the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Master Plan? I'm chair of the major projects portfolio, so I am happy to present the purpose of this report to seek approval of the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Master Plan, and I move the recommendation contained in the council report. Is there a seconder? Councillor Ong. Thank you. I'm going to be very brief and simply say this is the fourth iteration of our consultation, including verbal submissions last time. We've now reached the end of the renewal master plan, and I look forward to actually now getting to the design and document stage. Councillor Ong. Is there a further submitted debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Sorry, you choose not. You abstain. Could I note abstentions from Councillor Foster and Councillor Watts, and those in favour, Councillor Mayne, Councillor Ong, Councillor Louis, Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppert, and myself. That matter is carried. Thank you. This concludes the reports from committee to be considered in open session. There are 6 reports from management. There are now 7 reports, I beg your pardon, from management to be considered in open session. The first is records of assemblies of councillors. Councillors like their usual presentation. In that case, could I call on a councillor to move that? Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor, I'll put that motion. Of those in favour, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the proposal to rename South Bank Pedestrian Bridge to Evan Walker Bridge. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Councillor Foster, would you like to move this item? And I'm happy to second that. Councillor Foster.
It's always good to see somebody like Evan Walker being acknowledged in this way. I won't speak at length on it. I think the recommendation and the report speaks for itself. But once again, when people have made such a contribution as Evan Walker did, it's important that we have a lasting monument to that and a way to acknowledge that contribution. So I appreciate the support that that this recommendation has.
Thank you. I would just like to say a very urbane, sophisticated, charming person. I think we're all... we suffered a sense of loss when he died in February of this year. But Evan, along with people here at the City of Melbourne, Rob Adams and Jeff Laura and others, the father of Southbank, turning it from an industrial precinct into a thriving precinct of today. And he was a person who connected people, and therefore a bridge, I think, is a remarkable thing to be named for Evan Walker. And I also note the fact that his family are very supportive and grateful for this gesture from the City of Melbourne, and I'm delighted to second it. Is there a further speaker to the debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Item 6.3 is the Portable Communication Network and Equipment Services Contract. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this resolution? Thank you, Councillor Ong. Is there a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Wood. Councillor Ong, do you wish to speak to it?
Just a quick comment, Lord Mayor. I think the officers have done an excellent job. We have one tender response, and it's actually cheaper than the past, so I think it's a good result.
We hold them to account, Councillor.
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Wood. Is there a further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.4 is the endlessly fascinating Activities Miscellaneous Amendments Local Law 2015. Would councillors like a presentation on this? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move it? Councillor Leppert, is there a seconder? I'm happy to second it. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm moderately fascinated by this item, believe it or not.
I'm surprised to hear so, Councillor.
can I thank Kim and the team for the work that they've done, particularly in commissioning that extra work in relation to the provision of a compatibility statement with the Victorian Charter of Human Rights. It's very important in my mind that we do check in and do that review, and that review has been done. I'm satisfied by the conclusions of that review and trust that this local law will serve us well.
Thank you. I'm happy to leave it to that eloquent defence. Is there a further speaker to debate? Councillor Ong.
Yes, I actually concur with Councillor Leppert. It is quite fascinating reading through this and all the little changes, including a particular table of all the types of offences. And, there's some interesting ones in there that I wasn't even aware of. Now I can quote to people that they could be penalised for doing some of these things. Thank you to officers for bringing this to our attention.
I was hoping you were going to quote them to us, Councillor. I was looking forward to that tremendously.
If you want to, it's a penalty to collect waste from premises.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Is there a further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the proposed change to the structure of the Sustainable Melbourne Fund. Would council was like a presentation? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this?
Councillor Lord Mayor, I'm happy to move that motion there. The slight amendment, 8.3.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Mayne, thank you.
Happy to endorse this. With 8.3, thank you to Councillor Mayne, with a look towards the trustees moving from a volunteer model potentially to a paid model. So a report coming back on that, I think, is the right step there. This really just gets the Sustainable Melbourne Fund in line with a more corporatised model. and essentially happy to endorse that and get on with the job.
Councillor Mann. Anybody else wish to make a contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Participation by Melbourne City Council in the MAV State Council meetings. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, I call on the councillor to move a motion. Thank you, Councillor Mann. Is that seconded? Councillor Wood, thank you. Councillor Mann.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This report is a stock take, I guess, on City of Melbourne's participation with the MAV, our peak body, since we rejoined in late 2012. The report is a very useful account of all, I think it's 18 motions we've put up, and our win-loss rate, if you like, where we've had 11 of our, well, it's actually 19, 11 of our 19 motions have been carried and 8 have been defeated. We've been rejected on issues such as gender balance at conferences, the idea of transparency, having public questions and audio of council meetings, rejected on directly elected mayors, rejected on disclosing asset values, rejected again on audio, rejected on having fors and against in the minutes, and rejected on disclosing executive pay. So it is useful to see that. There's been a few, obviously some support for some other transparency motions and a few other motions more generally. But suffice to say that our win rate in motions is much lower than the average, which tends to run up around 90%. But I don't think that's a reason to actually, you know, throw your hands in the air and storm off or pull out or stop putting up motions. That we should participate with the peak body. We should try and demonstrate and spread the idea of transparency and good governance, and put up on issues on a whole range of policy matters, whether it's EUAs or the Sentencing Act or developer contributions or any number of other issues that we have chosen to raise with the MAV. So I'd like to thank particularly Jack Hanna, who prepared this report. I know it was a lot of back and forth with the MAV to get the data. It's really useful to get the divisions all put together as one, so we can see who's who in the voting zoo, in voting against and for occasionally some of our motions. And we also just discovered today that half the councils who pay above a certain rate get 2 votes, and the smaller rurals only get 1. Which is why I was a little confused that it looked like one of our motions had actually been defeated when we were saying it had been passed, and that was because more big councils with 2 votes had voted for, as opposed to the smaller rural councils with 1 vote who voted against. So another quirk of MAV governance. But thanks again to Jack Hanna for preparing this report, and I do think we should retain our membership for another year. It's due this month. I note that I've heard that Frankston City Council has decided to withdraw from the MAV over concerns about governance and other matters. I don't think that's something we should do at this point, but it is a little disappointing to read about our peak body voting so often against what is now pretty stock standard good governance measures adopted at the City of Melbourne. And I think we should just keep plugging away and hopefully to improve the MAV's governance going forward.
Thank you. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I agree with Councillor Mann. Our scorecard's looking a little better than Carlton's was the other week, but not too much better. I think the transparency and...
It was a pretty heavy defeat.
The transparency, you could barrack for Essendon, that would be a little bit worse than that situation, but I won't go into that. The transparency, excuse me, and the governance motions going down, I think probably are the biggest issue, as highlighted by Councillor Mann. And so I think it's one of those things where we agitate from inside the tent and hopefully we see some change over the next 12 months.
Is there a further contributor to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. Could I now move to previous item 6.9.1.4, which is the QVM Precinct Renewal Program Governance Plan, which we voted on earlier to bring out of confidential into open, and therefore I think it's appropriate to ask Director Rob Adams to make a very brief presentation on this item.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, through you. Effectively, on reaching the end of phase one, with the adoption of the master plan this evening, we now move into a different phase in the governance of this project. And it was considered appropriate at this stage to look at some minor adjustments in the governance model that had been adopted by Council on the 11th of February, 2014. The two changes that I'd draw attention to is that there will now be direct reporting to Council and information to the QBM board on a monthly basis, and there will be appointment of a program director to recognise that we are now moving from a phase of the preparatory work and liaison through government, etc., which has been a considerable body of work, to one where we are moving to construction, design and implementation of the project. So the project, the report in front of you makes those changes and recommends a new structure be put in place.
Thank you. I'm happy to move this item. Is there a seconder for it? Councillor Wong. Thank you. Could I just echo Rob's thoughts there? This is a watershed for us. We now move from considering and thinking to doing. And when that happens, you take on someone who can manage the project. You think about what structure is reporting on progress. You take great heed of probity audit, because we now move into a commercial phase, not a conceptual or a public policy phase, and therefore this is entirely appropriate. It does take account of the role of the market and its management in input into the process, but it actually also says that the primary decision-making body is this council and its successors, and that's exactly as it should be for the investment we are making. So it's a very important change in governance, entirely in accord with probity recommendations about this stage of the project. Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thanks, Rob Adams and his team for bringing this to us. I think it's a very exciting stage we're getting into after 3 years or so of debate, discussions, community consultation, phases 1, 2, and 3, and getting to the master plan and further consultation. I think as we move into, as Professor Adams says, we're moving into the delivery stage now. The implementation of a multi-faceted project, which includes operating a live market where all this is going on, requires a different sort of approach. An approach where we probably need gun project managers and program managers to ensure that each phase of the project and the sub-projects are managed in a manner without a lot of, let's say, inputs from councillors at this stage, but from the professionals who will report back to us every month. Because I look at the program principles that's been identified in what we're trying to achieve here, they all tick the boxes, because basically we need to deliver on our commitments to the customers, to the traders of the market, to other stakeholders, and also to the state government. The pressure is now on us, and the clock is ticking. So I think it's great that we have this now, and soon we'll have on board a team to deliver what we promised. And I look forward to those.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there further contribution to debate? Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, thanks to the colleagues for agreeing to take this out of confidential. I think when we set up the governance model initially in February 14, we did it in open session. So I think it was important to be consistent. I guess probably the most notable change to the governance model is a stepping up of the exec role, I think it's fair to say, and a slight adjustment of the non-executive role. So the model that we're shelving involved a peak committee which included three councillors and three non-executive directors of the Queen Victoria market, and that worked fine for the last year and a half, but where this report proposes to move to a model with a more management-oriented project committee with our CEO, the CEO of the market, Professor Adams, and a couple of independent experts yet to be selected, who will bring particular expertise to the process. It is good that from a council law point of view, I'm pleased to see the report talks about a monthly briefing of councillors as to the the progress of the renewal program. Agree with Councillor Ong that the hiring of the project director will be a very important decision, and that's underway. And obviously we will need to sort out our longer term financing plan for the project, a more detailed 10-year capital works plan with next year's budget, and some fine tuning of the Queen Victoria Market Renewal Fund. So there's plenty of issues, not to mention obviously just the straight implementation of the project and management of the development sites, et cetera, et cetera. So there's many facets to this, and I think it's very important that we have the governance model available for everyone to see, and I've got a full confidence that this model will successfully take the project forward as we embark on what is a very, very big and important project with many facets that will be need to be very carefully managed.
Thank you. Is there a further contributor debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. This concludes the reports from management to be considered open session. In general business, there is one remaining matter, and that is the notice of motion standing in Councillor Foster's name, increased funding for Youth Projects Limited. And could I call on Councillor Foster to move the motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Wood. Thank you, Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, pleased to receive correspondence from Youth Projects a short time ago. The important work that they do for the disadvantaged and homeless throughout the city over winter is recognised by many, and Council has supported them doing similar work over the summer period to help relieve the heat-related conditions of people who are living on our streets and are without a roof. Unfortunately, though, and especially in such an extreme winter that we're experiencing this year, those effects can only be amplified, and the people that are experiencing some of the horrific conditions and injuries and medical conditions that Youth Projects are dealing with need all the help and support that they can get. So I'm very pleased and thank Mel Raymond and Youth Projects for approaching us with this request. I'm pleased to say that their work just ought to be commended at every opportunity, and I think this motion is another way that we can continue supporting organisations like this who continue to support the most vulnerable people in our city in the best way that they do.
Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thanks to Councillor Foster for bringing this to us. Happy to support such a worthy investment. And I just note too that when we look at extreme weather, whether it's extreme hot or extreme cold, and we look at the current resilience strategy that we're undertaking right across the municipality, that these are the sorts of issues which unfortunately we may see present more and more. So it's something that we need to be aware of, and something that will come forward as part of the resilience strategy, because often those that are most affected are those that are most vulnerable. So very happy to support this.
Thank you. Is there a further contribution to the debate? Councillor Oak.
Well, just briefly, again, thank you, Councillor Foster, for bringing this forward, and thank you to Youth Projects, obviously, for all the work that they do provide. And the only comment I make is that, you know, it's an incredible service that they provide for a very small amount of money that we're talking about here. But, you know, if you look at the things that they're offering, or not even offering, but they're needing to do to provide these services, it's a very small contribution on top of what I know we already do provide. But it's a very small contribution for a significant amount of work and important service that they provide.
Thank you. Is there a further contribution? Wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Councillors, I believe there is one proposed item of urgent business, because general business in open session is now concluded, and that is Planning Scheme Amendment C173. Could I call on a councillor to move a motion that this meets the criteria for urgent business? Councillor Ong, Councillor Oak seconded. Sorry, Councillor Wood seconded. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Could I now call on a councillor to move a motion in regard to Amendment C173?
Yeah. And Lord Mayor, sorry, I need to declare a conflict because University of Melbourne is my employer.
Long may it continue to be the case. Not the conflict, the employment. Councillor Ong, is there a seconder? I'm happy to second it. Councillor.
Lord Mayor, before the mover begins, can I make a suggestion, a procedural suggestion, a wording on the item? There is no report from management today. Can we just be clear that we're referring to the report from management at agenda item 6.1 of 14 July 2015? Otherwise, technically we're looking for a report to council, but we're actually looking for a report to FMC.
Yeah.
So after the word management.
That's correct.
Can we add the following words, please? To the Future Melbourne Committee of 14 July at agenda item 6.1.
Well picked up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rowe.
Moved.
Seconded.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, fellow councillors.
I thought we were nearly at the end of the debate for a happy moment there.
Just,
anyway.
Yes, No. I just quickly want to just say that, look, this was already debated at Future Melbourne, and it was meant to come here. It's just a slight administrative issue, but I'm glad it's on, brought to us by management. And want to just get this through the system and get it to the minister.
Thank you. Is there a further contribution or debate? In that case, I'll put the motion of those in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you. Please call Councillor Oak in. And could I call on a council to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items of confidential business? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Wood. Could I put that motion? All those in favour? You can vote on the walk. Don't worry about that. That is unanimous. Thank you very much. Could I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:20 p.m.